I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there. I've got a later on in the show. This seems to have gone by without anybody noticing, but Anthony Fauci made a pretty huge admission that we'll get into at this point. It's one of these things that kind of reminds me of when the report was declassified, showing that the Saudi Arabians, the people, high level Saudi Arabian government officials, were responsible for funding the 9/11 attacks and the 9/11 hijackers. You know, when I first read that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to set off a firestorm. And there were just crickets. The narrative was not pierced. We still believe that 19 ragtag cave dwellers swung by a home improvement store and picked up some box cutters and took down the greatest national security apparatus that has ever inhabited planet Earth. It was just ignored. Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and danced around, did the sword dance. Well, this Fauci admission is one of these things where I think, okay, well now, you know, this will be making the rounds, particularly on conservative media, and I'm hearing basically crickets. So we'll get to it later on in the show today. I was off the air for about an hour on Friday, I guess, when the Rittenhouse verdict came in, the correct verdict in the Rittenhouse trial. But, you know, this show is all about kind of targeting anger and frustration towards the correct target, which is always up. We don't have a whole lot of power in, you know, going after these people, the elites, the people who are running the show, but I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let people, without my, you know, without commenting on it at least, target each other. But that's what we see. So we have the Rittenhouse verdict on Friday, and by Sunday we've got this nut job running his truck through a Christmas parade. Now, I'm looking for, and I guess they haven't really released a motive. A lot of people, we're speculating on exactly what took place. It doesn't really matter. This is obviously was an intentional event. There's no indication the guy was suffering some kind of a cardiac event, and this caused him to careen out of control, as has happened sometimes. But again, we've got people attacking each other, the left currently, as the result of the Rittenhouse thing comes out. And I've had conversations with a couple of people about this verdict. And there's so much emotion around it that it doesn't really pay much attention to the facts. And I've tried to explain to people, regardless of what your impression is, whether you think Kyle Rittenhouse was this or was that, the trial was centered around a singular event, and there was a legal statute to defend yourself when you're under attack. And that's what was settled on Friday, rightfully. And I'll play some of the race hustlers that are doing it, because now the left is trying to demonize all white people for some strange reason, because a white guy defended himself against some other white guys. And somehow this is racism. And so now this has led, this media and their manipulation of Americans' minds has led to 5 more deaths, and I guess 40 injuries right now have been reported in this guy running through the Christmas Day parade. Because people are so manipulated to do this, what I call lateral hate, which is You know, hating the guy next to you, hating the guy in the grocery store, hating the person on Twitter, hating the person on Facebook. And it just means absolutely nothing. I just continue to say it. The elites are just laughing when they see these things. You know, we got Thomas that calls on the Clay Edwards show. He believes racism is the single biggest problem that the black community faces. And that there's really there's nothing anyone can say to him to change his mind. He's been completely convinced that all black people are victims. I'm going to play some audio clips from a couple that aren't. There are a couple of the race hustlers, because I looked up their salaries. You know, when it comes to the race baiters and the race hustlers, it's a good gig. I will give it to them. It is a great gig. So I'll play what they said, and then I'll give you their salaries. But people who believe that this white supremacist argument is out there do not realize that the system is just using them. And I've got a great, great quote of the day from, I think it's from Orwell. Not Orwell, Huxley, that I'll get to. But they're just directing people at the wrong targets constantly. And so now we've seen 5 more deaths, 40 more people injured in something that was just really, really senseless. Now, I will say this, and I'm just an objective guy. I'm watching the mass manipulation of people. Conservatives have been tricked into hating all Muslims so the powerful could get their wars. Many people are still conditioned of that belief. Whether Sharia law is compatible with the American way of life is obviously true, but nobody's suggesting Sharia law take place in the United States. But the idea that all Muslims are hell-bent on killing the infidel and that any Muslim just wants to jump across the table and slit your throat because they hate you for your freedom is just patent manipulation of conservatives. So it happens on both sides. Now we've got people who are unvaccinated being treated as there's some kind of a threat, even if they're not sick. And it's just amazing to me as I watch this race baiting going on in the mainstream media in reaction to the Rittenhouse stuff. The stuff is so ridiculous on its face, but the elites know how stupid we are and how easily most people are led around by the nose. You look at COVID and the shot. It's a scam. It's a scam, and we're going to break it down more in the show today. Hell, the whole U.S. pharma-run medical system is largely a scam. If your body gets broken, boy, it's a great time to be alive. Surgeons and hospitals putting people back together like they never have before. But if you want to just live your life without chronic disease and endless medications, you better get out of the medical system because that's their game. Picking your pockets constantly to address a pill for every ill. Climate change, what a scam. Listen to this. The St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank, the St. Louis Fed, had to put out an article, or excuse me, I guess this was a tweet. They're getting on the climate change. If I can't get you on board with the fact that the Federal Reserve is the Death Star, is at the root of so many of these problems, maybe I can turn you against them by realizing that they're woke and they are going to lead us down this path of climate fear. The St. Louis Fed, for some reason, felt the need to send this out in a tweet. A Thanksgiving dinner serving of poultry cost $1.42. A soybean-based dinner serving with the same amount of calories cost 66 cents and provides almost twice as much protein. This is the St. Louis Fed giving you some climate change nutritional advice. Don't pay any attention to the fact that your Thanksgiving dinner cost is going through the roof. Just switch to soy. And they probably also want that because they know that soy is a great estrogen mimicker. It turns us all into girly men. And they could probably use that too, but I thought that was interesting. This is part of the climate change federal bank scam. It comes all together. The war on terror, scam. War on drugs, scam. And the race baiting is a scam. I'm going to take a break and come back with some clips from some of the race baiters, and I'm going to give you their salary levels. Because, you know, you got to wonder, what would possess somebody to pit people against each other? That's the antithesis of this show, where I try to tell you, man, you're getting played. Thomas, you're getting played, man. And I'm going to do this Aldous Huxley quote as well. This is not something, this is not a new phenomenon. Elites have been having their way with the rabble for centuries. But yeah, we'll take a break and come back. First one, of course, the race hustler in chief, Joy Reid, over on MSNBC. Actually, both of these clips are from MSNBC, of course. I don't have any CNN clips, but I'm sure they were doing equal race baiting over there. But I got to tell you, it's a good gig if you can get it. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
You know, I think most people are normal people. It's just that the worst among us seem to rise to the top because they're willing to do anything to get there. You know, when I look at these race baiters, and I don't care what side it's on, you know, a grand wizard of the KKK back in the day, it was some loser that never could have gotten any power or accomplished something until they led a bunch of idiots to some ridiculous conclusion, and so they got power from it. They became, you know, within some white supremacist organization, and they do exist. It's just they're so small and so marginalized as to not even be perceivable in the United States on a daily basis. But the people who will do anything are the ones that rise. Normal people, you know, we don't want to cause a lot of problems. We don't want to do things that harm people. And unfortunately, in a lot of these institutions, particularly the mainstream media, it pays. It pays to go out and race bait. And I'm going to show you why. This was Joy Reid at MSNBC. MSNBC being the, as far as I can tell, now I run across a lot of MSNBC clips. CNN is just, they're just liars, and they've got plenty of race baiters and race hustlers on there as well paid as the ones I'm about to show you now. But MSNBC seems to be race baiting central. It really is. But, you know, the beautiful thing is, if we try to look for any silver linings on this, their ratings are through the floor. Now, the people that they propagandize to, the people that they manipulate on MSNBC, are dogged in their beliefs that MSNBC is telling them the truth. But they're a very, very small group, so that's the silver lining of this, MSNBC's ratings falling through the floor, particularly after Donald Trump left office. But this is one of the worst race baiters out there, Joy Reid. I'll give you her salary stats when we come back to explain, you know, how could you do this? She can't believe this crap that she's saying. She just can't. It's nonsensical and ridiculous on its face. So there must be some other motivation. I'll tell you the motivation after we listen to this clip.
I was not at all surprised. We've talked about this. I mean, this is what we expected to happen, because I think we have to keep in mind when we're watching the criminal justice system at work that it was designed to do exactly what it did today. Gun laws helped to enhance the design to allow this verdict to happen today.
What does that
this
even
country
mean?
Was built on the idea that white men had a particular kind of freedom and a particular kind of citizenship that only they have, that gives, you know, from the slave catchers on, the right to inflict violence in the name of protecting property. That's like the foundational creation of the United States. So it would have been shocking. The real, as I'm glad you mentioned the Derek Chauvin verdict, that was the surprising verdict. This should have been unsurprising. But what I do think we have to think about is not only the families of the two men who died and the family of Mr. Grosskreutz, they are, you know, they should be in our minds right now because they suffered. And there have been a lot of white people who have, you know, defended black lives and paid for it with their lives. That goes all throughout our history, going back to John Brown and go through the civil rights movement. But what I am concerned about is the precedent this sets for what people will believe that they can do under law when Black Lives Matter protests happen in the future. And that people may use this as an excuse to start going out of state and doing what this teenager did, believing that they'll get away with it, and in some cases, getting away with it.
Yeah, so there's Joy Reid spreading the fear-mongering that, oh, this is just going to, every time there's a Black Lives Matter protest, people are going to be coming. I love the out-of-state thing. They're really hitting that out-of-state. He crossed state lines. That was just a huge talking point of the whole thing. Crossed state lines to where his dad lived. But, you know, I asked myself, what kind of normal person would try to stoke this kind of fear in her own community, in the black community? But then I realized, I mean, it didn't take long to look this up. Let's see. Joy Reid. This was a couple of years ago, so I can only assume it's increased within. It's estimated that Joy Reid makes $1.5 million per year. Her net worth is around $7 million. That's really strange that somebody so dedicated to her community would amass such a fortune. You would think she'd be giving it away to all kinds of social programs and trying to help some of these areas that she sees are so downtrodden, but somehow she's banked away $7 million. See, race hustling is a good gig. And she is the woman to do it over at MSNBC. Now, she was not the only one. Here's another one. Malcolm Nance, he's an attorney, but I think he's a regular on MSNBC. He got even worse with it as he race baits, and then we'll take a look at what kind of money he's making.
Malcolm, I want to start with you. My primary concern about this ruling is that it is now open season and that white nationalists and domestic terrorists across this country are high-fiving. What kind of impact does a ruling like this have for everybody, from the Proud Boys to militia groups, from Savannah, South Carolina, to Seattle, Washington?
Well, let me confirm for you that they are high-fiving. They view this as a major...
He's gonna confirm it. I've seen it. I saw him high-fiving. Down at the Waffle House, every table erupted. I mean, come on.
Major victory. For some time, you know, the Free Kyle T-shirts and Kyle Did Nothing Wrong types of T-shirts have been going on have been inside the white supremacy movement and had mainstreamed itself into the Republican Party world. And by doing that, what they've done is that they have steeped Kyle Rittenhouse in the tea of white supremacy iconography, whether he wanted to be there or not.
So he got into the pantheon of white supremacy by killing two white people, shooting a third white person. I mean, someone's got to explain this stuff to me.
What he did by his very action of going out, going to a protest across state lines, being within a group of armed men, performing what they call the Korean on the rooftop, right? Defending a position, whether it's a business or other, where they were not invited, and then getting into this fight where he killed two men and wounded a third, that is now the template on how to protest.
You know, it's sick, as you know, these people are just saying, oh, why couldn't he have killed two black men? Man, if he had just killed a couple of brothers, that would have really sealed the deal for us. It's so inconvenient. We've got to avoid the fact that he actually killed a white guy. Oh, if he only, and believe me, these race hustlers, they wish two black people had been killed instead of white people. That's the sick, perverse, topsy-turvy world we live in. They really, as much as they talk about how the plight of the black community, they really wish it had been two black people that had been killed instead of white people.
Against Antifa or Black Lives Matter or any other person that they consider in the white supremacy world race traitors. You have to understand that for some time, these thoughts have been completely underground. They were not mainstreamed. But now
the media is doing everything we possibly can to make white supremacy as mainstream as possible. We're trying to dig it up, find it anywhere we can. We'll create it out of whole cloth if we need to. It used to be underground until we brought it up and resuscitated it. Even though it doesn't exist, we will continue to talk about it.
We are. And worse yet, at some point, someone is going to weaponize the self-defense. And when I say weaponize it, I mean they are going to have a designated Kyle Rittenhouse. Yeah. And when you can anticipate or precipitate an attack, whether it's bottles thrown at you, then not only can that person go back and defend himself, others can turn their weapons and carry out a massacre and say it was in defense of another person. This is going to get out of control.
Yeah, so he just gave everybody plenty of ideas. This hasn't happened. It's a completely hypothetical, made-up event that he just came up with in his head. So that's Malcolm Nance on MSNBC. The funny thing is, he's an attorney. He should know better when it comes to self-defense. Well, he does. He does. But that doesn't pay the bills to... You can't go on MSNBC and say, yeah, that was a clear case of self-defense. I mean, I don't like Kyle Rittenhouse, and I wish this hadn't happened, but yeah, I looked at the videotape, and he was obviously being attacked, and someone was pointing a gun at him. So yeah, I mean, that's what a normal attorney would say, but Malcolm Nance doesn't want to screw his gig up. He makes $500,000 a year as an attorney, as a black man in America. Joy Reid makes $1.5 million, probably more now. That was a couple of years ago. As a black woman in America, what a racist country. This guy, this Malcolm Nance, net worth in the millions. You know, the race hustling pays well. This is an Aldous Huxley clip. I mean, a quote, excuse me. I haven't even gotten to my quotes of the day yet. This is Aldous Huxley. Quote, and always, everywhere, there would be the yelling or quietly authoritative hypnosis. Then in the train of the ruling suggestion givers, always everywhere, the tribes of buffoons and hucksters, the professional liars, the purveyors of entertaining irrelevances, conditioned from the cradle, unceasingly distracted, mesmerized systematically, their uniformed victims would go on obediently marching and countermarching, go on always and everywhere, killing and dying with the perfect docility of trained poodles. Now, that's a big, fancy word salad of basically saying, oh, yeah, the liars at the top will yell and they will whip up their trained poodles to go out and fight and die for them. And if you're black and you think white supremacy is the biggest problem facing the black community or you personally, you're a trained poodle. But it doesn't, it's not just there. If you're vaccinated and you think the unvaccinated, even when they're not sick, they're just walking through a grocery store or sitting across the Thanksgiving table from you. If you are vaccinated and you believe the unvaccinated are some mortal threat to you, you are a trained poodle. If you think Iran and Russia and China and Taiwan, the Taliban are the biggest threats to the United States, you are a trained poodle. We are a nation of trained poodles. And I believe if you think that there's a savior politician, be it Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, whoever your favorite guy is, if you think there's a political savior coming to save you from all of these things, you can just vote a little harder and fix all of these problems, you are also a trained poodle. We live in a nation of trained poodles. The race baiting is endless on this stuff. And as I say, I've spent 30 minutes on it now, the opening of this show. This show is about trying to convince people you need to quit looking side to side for the people to vent your frustration and your anger. But the problem is that we're powerless against the elites. And I guess we've just accepted that. We don't lay a glove on them. They live a life none of us could even dream of. The opulence that they live in, the comfort, the security that they all live in. We can't even imagine it. We just can't. We can't touch them. So we exercise our power by lashing out at each other. We think this makes us powerful. Got a bunch of Twitter followers and you can go troll some stranger on Twitter for saying something and you take your mob to go against them. That's the only power that most people think that they have. I don't do that here on this show. I don't do any lateral hate. But I will certainly call out the fact that people have been manipulated, will continue to be manipulated by people like Joy Reid, who's making a couple of million bucks a year to do it. That is what's turned you into a trained poodle, if you're a Joy Reid watcher.
Your arms here around me, I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding, I need your love.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Just to finish up on these race hustlers, what's really amazing, I guess the guy that plowed into this crowd of people at the Christmas parades, name's Daryl Edward Brooks, apparently. That's what's being reported. People are saying there's a lot of, anti-Trump left-wing stuff on his social media, maybe in his rap lyrics. So here's the thing. I talk about trained poodles. So this guy was basically just a trained pit bull to go off and do something like this. What's always amazing to me, and it really doesn't matter whether it's real war, where you get a bunch of politician and corporate elites that have designs on some country's natural resources or fat contracts like the defense contractors, and they send these our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand, come back with catastrophic injuries or PTSD, while these people just clink champagne glasses in the boardrooms when the quarterly earnings come in. So this guy, Daryl Edward Brooks, being lit up by the race baiters and the race hustlers, he's done for now. He accomplished nothing but harming some people who had no power over him, people that weren't part of any system that has ever oppressed him. They were just people marching in a Christmas Day parade. So he gets wound up by the Joy Reids of the world, the Malcolm Nances of the world. Now his life is over. He'll spend the rest of his life in prison or he'll be executed. Joy Reid will take another. Didn't she just get caught taking a big vacation to Florida? Was that her? I know Don Lemon had done that. He was maskless in Florida. Don Lemon, one of the race baiters and race hustlers over at CNN. These guys will be just fine. This Daryl Edward Brooks. The guy's really, he's actually a victim. I know it's hard to say that, and that's not going to be popular. He's obviously a piece of garbage for doing what he did. But this is a guy that has been relentlessly propagandized to by the race hustlers. And he acted on it. Now they will sacrifice him. And they will clink champagne glasses at MSNBC with Joy Reid when she gets off air and cashes one of her checks for a couple of million bucks a year while Daryl Edward Brooks rots in a prison cell or is executed. It's really not hard to catch on to when you start paying attention to who benefits from all of this stuff while the little people who go out and do these kinds of things are just fed to the wolves. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. They do not care about you. Quotes of the day today, Ron Paul, the great Ron Paul said, speak up, speak often, and don't worry about those at this point that cannot understand as they can never unhear what we tell them. And that was Ron Paul's liberty movement that woke a lot of people up during 2008, 2012. George Washington said, it is far better to be alone than to be in bad company. I think that's where I find myself quite often. Alone. And then here is a really sad quote of the day. This is someone on Twitter by the name Nurse Sarah. She's got a heart next to her, like a real heart, like a anatomically correct heart next to her name on Twitter. And she wrote on Twitter on the 17th of November, she says, for the first time in my career, I took care of an 8-year-old little boy with myocarditis in the ER. It has begun. And yeah, we're going to take a look at that some today. There was a huge admission by Anthony Fauci that just was greeted with crickets. I haven't really heard anybody talking about it, but to me, it was one of these things where I just thought, wait, what a sec? Wait, what? Wait a second. What'd you say? Called upon to explain the data coming from Israel, a country with one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, Fauci said the following, quote, they are seeing a waning of immunity not only against infection, but against hospitalization and to some extent death, which is now starting to involve all age groups. It isn't just the elderly. Speaking about the effectiveness of the vaccines in countries with high vaccination rates, Fauci admitted, quote, it's waning to the point that you're seeing more and more people getting breakthrough infections, and more of those people who are getting breakthrough infections are winding up in the hospital. This is Anthony Fauci. I've got a clip. I've got a clip. Somebody's done a supercut. I'll probably have to take a break and then come back and do it. Of the evolving narrative on these shots. But again, this is Anthony Fauci saying they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalization and to some extent death, which is starting to now involve all age groups. It isn't just the elderly. Young people in these heavily vaccinated places are dying, and many people have sent me the story about excess death that I'll get to in just a second. But even with Anthony Fauci, the mini Mengele, the state medical director whisperer that has so enthralled our own Thomas Dobbs here, does Thomas Dobbs not know that his mini Mengele mentor has admitted this? Because from what I can tell, We are still being told here in Mississippi, this is just a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Yet Anthony Fauci is admitting not only that vaccinated people can get a mild case. That's what they've told us so far. But Anthony Fauci coming out and saying, oh, yeah, it looks like there's waning immunity and vaccinated are going into hospitals and they're dying. But not for some reason, not here in Mississippi. Isn't that odd? I mean, I don't know what we've got in the water here, but somehow we're bucking a worldwide trend, including in states that are finally, the data is inescapable in many states. I've talked about these, either Pennsylvania or Connecticut and Maryland, that are already coming out and saying, oh yeah, a bunch of the deaths that we're having are in the fully vaccinated camp. But I find it interesting that Dobbs maybe didn't get the latest memo from the mini Mengele mentor, Anthony Fauci, who is now admitting that, oh, yeah, these shots, they're not protecting you from the disease. They're not protecting you from spreading it. And now they're not protecting you from hospitalization and not protecting you from death. Even with this admission, though, the mini Mengele is not done. Listen to this. I certainly have been talking about it for a while. It's amazing. The hosts on WIAB have been telling you this for months and months now. And I believe we're the only news talk outlet in central Mississippi, to be sure, competing to against a bunch of WGOP radio stations that have been telling you, rush out and get this shot. It's the best tool we got. But apparently, me and my co-host are better understanders. We have a better understanding of biology than Thomas Dobbs or Anthony Fauci. And I've been asking for months and months why it is that human beings in other countries are so biologically different than those of us near America. But Anthony Fauci is there now admitting that this is the case. The vaccine's not working. It's not preventing hospitalizations. It's not preventing deaths. As a matter of fact, it may be causing deaths. More on that in just a second. So why, why is all-knowing and unquestionable science soothsayer Dr. Anthony Fauci now openly discussing that even though he, quote, can't guarantee it, unquote, babies and toddlers aged 6 months to 5 years could be eligible for COVID-19 vaccinations by spring? Quote, hopefully within a reasonably short period of time, likely the beginning of next year in 2022, in the first quarter of 2022, it will be available to them. That's what Fauci told Insider in an interview, though he cautioned that he was speculating, adding, you've got to do the clinical trial. Oh, my God. There is a disturbance in the force as we are now, I guess, experimenting on six-month-old babies with this shot. Parents who are victims of this mass propaganda. And just like the race hustling with these shots, there are people, there are executives at Big Pharma, patent holders at the NIH, clinking champagne glasses as parents offer up their six-month-old child to an experimental gene therapy trial. They think that they are doing some good for humanity. These shots are coming for your kids. There's a school board meeting in Madison on December 6th. You better make plans to attend. Show up in force and make sure that this thing never is jabbed into the children of our schools here. When we get back, I'll talk about this chart that everybody is pointing to these days. I think probably six or seven people have sent this to me. I think I saw it. I am a subscriber to Alex Berenson's Substack articles. I suggest if you want to see, again, the guy is just reporting the data that he is finding. He's not even much of an opinion guy, although he does draw the very obvious conclusions, but he's got a chart that he's circulating around that is coming from National Health Services in Great Britain, talking about all-cause mortality and who is dying at the highest rate in Great Britain. It won't surprise a lot of listeners to this show, but if you are still contemplating getting this jab, you might want to stick around for this next story. Be right back. You know, I was looking yesterday as I saw this quote from Anthony Fauci about he thinks that this shot is going to be available for our toddlers as early as spring of next year. I started looking at, you know, what the causes of mortality are in our young kids. Boy, there's a lot of preventable things. If you're a parent who is inoculating your child to protect them from COVID, you've got a lot of work to do with your child and keeping them safe. There's a lot more common sense things you could do, like never put them into a car. Never let them near an open body of water. A lot of drownings in our toddlers. If you have a pool, I mean, you're just an existential threat to your child at this point. I mean, there's so many causes of infant mortality in this country that are preventable by pulling out all the stops. But instead of paying any attention to any of those things, parents are going to line up their 2-year-olds, their 6-month-old to get a shot. They have a statistical 0% chance of succumbing to anything COVID-related. Whole bunch of other reasons. I mean, I don't know how, if you get your kid this shot, I don't know how you can ever put them in a car again. Do you not love your child? Are you not willing to protect your child? You need to raise them like veal. But where you raise them, though, because fire was one of the causes of death for toddlers, too. You got a problem there. I mean, I don't know what you do. Alex Berenson, former New York Times reporter that's been doing good just parsing through the data that's coming out. He's got a piece out on Substack. Vaccinated English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people in the same age and have been for 6 months. He's got a chart that's compiled by the data he got from the British government, and it shows the line of deaths. Now, they're dying at twice the rate. This is under 60s. People under 60 in Great Britain vaccinated are dying at twice the rate. Now, maybe there is another explanation for this. That's just what the data says. No one's going to tell us, and nobody in any position of medical authority is going to tell us what that means, because they don't want to know what it means. You know, they've talked a lot about delayed care. I ran across this clip from a Dr. Bridal. He's a virologist, I think an immunologist up in Canada, and he was talking about cancers. Check this out.
So what I will say is what I've seen way too much of, and it does cause me very serious concern, is we're seeing people who had cancers that were in remission or that were being well controlled, and their cancers have gone completely out of control after getting the vaccine. And what we do know with the vaccine is causes at least a temporary drop in T cell numbers, and those T cells are part of our immune system, and they're the critical weapons that our immune system has to fight off cancerous cells. So there's a potential mechanism there, and all I can say is I've had people contact me with way too many of these reports for me to feel comfortable. I do feel that that's probably, I would say, my newest major safety concern, and it's also the one that is going to be by far the most underreported in any adverse event database, because if somebody's had a cancer before the vaccine, there's no way public health officials will ever link it to the vaccine. But what we're seeing is oncology teams that had pushed the cancers in.
Public health officials right now will not connect to the vaccine. Somebody who gets a jab and passes out on the floor right then and there. They'd say it's anxiety. Oh, you get really sick, have heart problems within 24 hours? Psychosomatic. That's what they say. They're certainly not ever going to tie any of these cancer things. I think it was, is it Peter Corey? Is that the doctor who's been doing autopsies somewhere, I believe, in the Midwest? He's been seeing the same thing. These cancers raging out of control after the shot because it suppresses your immune system and apparently your T cells. And is this part of the reason that vaccinated British citizens are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated? We'll never know.
Into remission or keeping them well controlled can no longer control them after the vaccine.
Yeah.
So we know in Canada, it's very upsetting, because in Canada, we have a system that will never detect problems with these vaccines. That's why we've always had to rely on other countries, like with the AstraZeneca vaccine. We told Canadians that the AstraZeneca vaccine was 100% safe, despite the fact that 12 European countries that had paused the program to look for potential links to the blood clotting, potentially fatal blood clotting. And we were told as Canadians that we didn't have to worry because ours was from they announced that the problem was associated with a single batch from a single production facility in Europe. The European Medicines and ours was coming from India, and therefore it didn't apply to us. The European Medicines Agency will tell you that was never the case. And of course, then eventually after there were Canadians that did die and many that did have to be treated for the blood clots, then we finally admitted that it was a problem. And that's how our system is never going to work, because this is the thing. First of all, we're not informing people when they get the vaccine that they're to report any unusual medical condition up to 8 weeks after receiving a dose of the vaccine. And then the attending physician is required to, by law, to report anything unusual. Most physicians are not. And now many don't, because they don't want to contradict the current narrative. And the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario has turned out to be incredibly tyrannical and are crushing many physicians and threatening many who don't go with this narrow public health narrative.
Yeah, so that's what you got. So Canada has the same corrupt medical system that we've got here in the United States. I mean, we're seeing these things. The dashboard is just flashing red. Every warning signal is going off on the dashboard. Anthony Fauci wants to put pedal to the metal and start inoculating six-month-olds.
Do I look lonely? I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you want to reach me, phone number here, 601-879-0002. You can also reach me by email, mikemadison@wyab.com. And I apologize. I kind of aggregate all of, I've got four or five different email accounts in my life. I aggregate them, and I found that I was getting spam in my aggregator for people that have emailed me here at WYAB. I respond to everybody when I run across emails, and I got a chunk of them the other day that were all found in my spam. I didn't see it. So you can email me, and if I delay in response, I do apologize. I'm also extremely busy in my other life outside of the radio station, but please reach out to me. You can also find this show on podcast. You can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can download it on pretty much any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, or I believe it's on the TuneIn app or on Podbean itself. So if you want to get the show there, you do. And the numbers on that have been growing. I think that this resistance movement is embracing a lot of the hosts here at the WYAB operation, because it's the only outlet out there that seems to be challenging these, particularly when it comes to the COVID stuff, but kind of across the board on a lot of issues. Announcement was just made today. You know, you want to talk about the continuity of a corrupt government. And I know this, I'll start off this hour in an unpopular tone, but I'd rather have Donald Trump as our president right now than Joe Biden. Of course, I'd rather have a ham sandwich as our president than Joe Biden. But on the big issues, nothing changed during the Trump administration. And just to show you the continuity, the seamless continuity between Donald Trump's administration and Joe Biden's administration is the announcement that the Fed head, Jerome Powell, is going to be kept on with the Biden administration because they are above party. They're above personalities. The Federal Reserve, as I've explained to you, is the Death Star. And if the elites want to keep picking our pockets while we're cruising through Christmas Day parades or screaming at each other on Twitter as we fight amongst ourselves, the Fed wants to go on unmolested. And because nobody pays any attention to it, it certainly happens. So Jerome Powell will stay on as the Federal Reserve chairman, so he can keep the printers on, keep the elites fat and happy while he destroys, just destroys, as did Janet Yellen, as did Ben Bernanke, as did Alan Greenspan. People probably don't know who I'm talking about. These are other Federal Reserve chairmen of our modern times now that have led us down this path of endless debt and money printing. So on the big issues, the Biden administration is really not that much different than the Trump administration. Trump had lobbyists in cabinet positions. Biden has lobbyists in cabinet positions. We don't know who's running Joe Biden. That would be interesting to know. Maybe someone will write a book about it someday, and we'll all find out who was behind the curtain on Joe Biden. We'll talk a little bit about his health in just a second, too. I've got some some clips for that. But again, the Federal Reserve, the nexus of basically all of the problems that conservatives and liberals complain about, is just going on. It's business as usual. So Jerome Powell, I don't even know what Jerome Powell's got to be a pretty smart guy. I mean, he's obviously played the game well. He's going to be he's an uber wealthy dude. Why he would want that job for another term is beyond me. I would have refused that. Of course, if Joe Biden had made a change, he would just do another carbon copy of the Federal Reserve chairman we've had before. This Lael Brainard was set to take it up. Progressives are going to be upset that they left Trump's guy in there. They wanted a more progressive person to fight climate change using the Fed, meaning, translation, print up a bunch of money and give it to people who are playing the climate change scam. Funnel money towards them. That's what this is about. It's a $50 trillion investment in climate change. This is what I believe it was Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock. BlackRock that really wouldn't even exist without the Federal Reserve, but now they are essentially the masters of the financial universe around the world. BlackRock is just enormous, and the spun-off Blackstone. Blackstone, I believe, is the one that owns tremendous amount of residential properties as they continually turn the American middle class into a serfdom. And Jerome Powell back at the helm. He's going to keep on trucking. Joe Biden liked what he saw during the Trump administration, where Jerome Powell printed up money endlessly, printed up 20% of all the money ever created just last year. Joe Biden looked at that and said, I like the cut of your jib, man. I've got some big spending plans, and I need somebody who really knows how to keep those printers on. There is no difference in this stuff. And to you black community that's searching around for the problem for your community, you think it's white supremacy? No, it is the Federal Reserve supremacy that is just decimating your societies. All of the horrible social programs that have wrecked inner cities of blacks and whites, all coming from the Federal Reserve, and Joe Biden's going to keep that scam going. But don't pay attention to that. Oh, what else do we have for today? I've got more of this vaccine stuff. There's a lot of people, as the mini Mengele has come out and said, now they want to start jabbing our 6 months old. This was a pretty good supercut. I just love people put these things together because it's got to be a lot of work. This is James Melville tweeted this. I'm not sure if he put this together. I want you to listen to these air quotes here in the studio. Scientists telling you what the absolute bottom line science is when it comes to these shots over the past year. It's interesting. You'll notice quite a bit of changes in what the science, you know, science is always supposed to be a red line. It is the truth. It is not to be questioned. But they just subtly, constantly change it. And we have the admission I told you about last hour where Anthony Fauci has now admitted, oh, yeah, it looks like the vaccines are waning. Vaccinated in hospitals are going up. Vaccinated people are dying. And nobody's paying any attention. I guess Rittenhouse bought him some time on that one. But here's about a year of the ever-evolving science. And to those of you who are about to trust your six-month-old to science, your two-year-old to science, your four-year-old to this science that everybody's so certain about, you might want to pay attention to the evolution, or really what it is the butt covering constantly as they just continue to just change the language that's supposed to be so certain when it comes to science.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah, so this clip starts out with Bill Gates. I've played that clip before where he went on CNBC and just talked about the massive return on investment on vaccines. This, I believe, number I saw was $176 billion to the pharmaceutical companies on these shots. That's Bill. I mean, they will just do this right to your face. That's Bill Gates on CNBC going, oh, man, it is a home run investment. It's why I'm shoving all my money into vaccines, not to save humanity, but he's talking about his ROI, his return on investment. And the people think it's science.
Okay, you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Wrong. They're really, really good against variants.
Wrong. Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but
reducing their transmission
wrong
to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Wrong. When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
Wrong.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized.
Wrong.
You're not going to be in an ICU unit.
Wrong.
And you're not going to die.
Wrong.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Wrong.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
Wrong.
What they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know,
what?
We have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions.
They slightly reduce transmission, yet still we're being told it's the unvaccinated you've got to worry about, right? I mean, this stuff, this is unbelievable stuff. That they are wrecking lives, have wrecked an economy, have just torn down the world. These are the people we are continuing to listen to.
A new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Now, I believe, actually, the statistic was, studying healthcare workers, it was 261 times higher in the vaccinated, but I won't split hairs. At least he's admitting you can all spread it.
From our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
Wait, what? And we played this clip, too. That's why I love these supercuts. It's kind of it's a trip down memory lane. This is your CDC director going, oh, we're looking at the data, and it turns out you're actually at increased risk of severe disease if you've had the shot. That was another one of those moments where I thought, oh, this is really going to catch fire, and barely anything was mentioned about it.
And if you look at Israel,
mm-hmm.
which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. A booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
It's clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
And they wrap it up with the true motive behind the vaccination program, return on investment, baby.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
As a personal aside, I don't remember what day it was, and I should know what day because this is important information. It was either last Wednesday or last Thursday. We loaded up the gang from the radio station here and headed over to the Gathering restaurant over there in Livingston. Had a fantastic lunch, red beans and rice. Red beans and rice with sausage is one of my favorite dishes. And it was the Blue Plate special that day. That's why it's important what day we went. I really can't remember. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday, so... If you love red beans and rice like I do, the Gathering out in Livingston has got some fantastic red beans and rice. But they've got Blue Plate specials every day, and I do encourage people to check this place out. If you are out and about this weekend doing your shopping, you want to escape the hustle and the bustle, take a ride out into the country. They've actually got a brunch on Saturdays from 10 to 2 o'clock. But every day they've got Blue Plate specials. This is the Gathering. It's on Highway 22 or Highway 22 and Highway 463 near Madison, where those intersect. They got Blue Plate specials every day for lunch. Famous fried chicken as well as fried pork chops, some of the best around. Homemade gumbo and tomato basil soup served all day long. Evenings, they've got butcher cut steaks, fresh seafood, golden brown fried catfish, savory pastas, and delicious salads. Every Sunday night, live music. You can check out their Instagram or their Facebook page to find out who's playing there. And they also do the take-it-home meals that are so popular with everybody, particularly when it comes to the holiday season. Everybody's too busy to get home and cook a meal. I encourage you to check out the Gathering restaurant. They are adjacent to the Livingston Mercantile. And they've got a whole big selection while you're doing your shopping of hunting and fishing supplies, things like that. And even got a full-service gas station out there. So definitely check them out. You can go to livingstonmercantile.com. That's livingstonmercantile.com. And they also, for those of you stressing about getting a Thanksgiving dinner together, this is one of those things. It's like a holiday tradition. Whoever has to cook gets a little on edge for this week, particularly this year, I think, as you're going to be throwing elbows in the grocery store trying to find everything you need for a Thanksgiving meal. Livingston Mercantile and the Gathering, they are doing full Thanksgiving meals. You can get also whole roasted turkeys. They've got sides, desserts, so you can get the whole full meal deal thing. So if you're looking for a fantastic gourmet Thanksgiving to impress everybody, Livingston's not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you. The Gathering's not going to tell you they cooked it. Tell your guests. You can take credit for it. But check them out. Again, that's livingstonmercantile.com, and you can find out also about their Thanksgiving packages to feed the family. All right, let's see where else we go with some of this stuff. So a couple of I told you so's that I wanted to get to today. Now, first we'll listen to Tedros. This is the World Health Organization head cheese. I'll be honest with you, I've just got Tedros on this note. And I think it was Friday when I listened to this. I hear so much that I forget sometimes. So let's listen together and see what I'm going to say. It has something to do with the shots.
COVID-19 is surging in countries with lower vaccination rates.
Here it goes. Another one of these admissions. They're saying it out loud. It's not dissuading them from the current vaccination program, which is full speed ahead. Rush out, get your shot. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 5 and over, get your shot, get your shot, get your shot.
COVID-19 is surging in countries with lower vaccination rates in Eastern Europe, but also in countries with some of the world's highest vaccination rates in Western Europe. It's another reminder.
That the shots don't work? Is that what he's going to say? I can't remember. It's been a while since I listened to this clip. Maybe he's going to tell us it's another reminder that these shots are only have negatives attached to them.
We have said again and again that vaccines do not replace the need for other precautions. Vaccines reduce.
That's right, slaves. Go back to your social distancing. Your kids are going to go back to remote learning in this next hump, this next wave, this next crisis. Keep that mask on, slaves. Keep your social distancing. Quit talking to each other at the grocery store. It's bothering the elites.
The risk of hospitalization, severe disease, and death. But they do not fully prevent transmission. We continue to recommend the tailored and proportionate use of testing, masks, physical distancing, measures to prevent crowding, improve ventilation, and more.
And more. Lockdowns. Yeah, so it's Tedros. They're just happening to notice, the big spikes in the low vaccination countries and big spikes in the high vaccination countries. Very, very odd for such an effective shot. Latest numbers out of the UK, I think, are saying for people, what was the age group? There was an age group. It might have been over 50. I think I'm accurate on that. Not positive, but it was an age group. For people over 50, they found the effectiveness of the shots in Great Britain to be 17%. Started out where? At 95? 100% for hospitalizations and deaths, what they told us, right? Yeah, that's what they told us. Turns out not so much. But I've made a prediction here. It's not a tough one. It doesn't make me smart or prescient or supernatural in any way. It's just you look at all of the different profit pools that are out there for big pharma. I knew they would come for the 6-month-olds. I'm not sure if they'll attempt the newborn, but they know that most kids are going to live to 6 months old. So as long as they can get you to 6 months, they're still going to get their money from you. But there's a whole new group that's going to be given these shots as well. And I've been predicting it here for a while.
For many, pets are like members of their family, and keeping them healthy is very important. One expert says that a vaccine to protect them from getting COVID-19 could be available as early as January. So far, there are no confirmed cases of pets with COVID.
There's no confirmed cases of pets with COVID, but by January, you can get them inoculated against something that they don't have and that they could possibly maybe someday get.
Have been some cases, I guess, that there's been suspicion, but no, we don't have any documented cases testing positive in Hawaii.
But there have been nearly 200 cases of dogs and cats on the mainland. Denham says almost all mammals are susceptible, but cats seem to contract it more often.
All mammals. Oh, Pfizer must have heard that and thought, oh, I mean, they're already getting the zoo animals. We've talked about that. The zoo animals around the country are getting the shots. But as I've said repeatedly over the past 6 to 8 months, they're coming for your pets, not just your toddlers, your pets. They're going to have to start selling these shots in, you know, family packs.
Often, it's believed to be transmitted from human to animal, not the other way around. And she says symptoms would be similar to humans. Lethargy, decreased appetite, sneezing, and difficulty breathing. If you think your pet has COVID, Denham says bring them in so that they can rule out other infections. And she says a vaccine is in the works.
There are some trials being done on vaccine for pets, mainly in cats. And that was expected to come out sometime at the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Veterinarians, for the love of God, please do not join your hysterical hypochondriac partners in the human medical field that have lost their minds and their souls, I would suggest. Of course, the souls have been stretched pretty thin over decades and decades of big pharma training, watching the American people get sicker and sicker and just prescribing more and more drugs, never addressing the root cause of any of these diseases. Their souls have been stretched pretty thin for a while now, but they certainly gave them all over when it came to COVID. So to the veterinarians out there, please, please don't do it. Dogs in particular. I'm a cat lover too. I love animals. I absolutely love animals, dogs and cats, any family friend. Please do not. Do not. I wonder if there's an alternative media for animals where they're circulating this information. Don't get the shot. You take your dog to a dog park and you see them whispering to each other. Is your owner planning on getting you the shot? Hell no, I'll run away before they put that stuff in me. And then there's the go-along animals. Well, I think it'd be great. You know, I heard from the sheep that the shot is fantastic. We all need to get it. Yeah, so there may be division. Next time you take your dog to the dog park, it may be the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed, just like their human counterparts. Be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Let's see, Joe Biden had a physical last week. I don't think I got into this this week on the crazy train. He was included in that. I think the physical was on Thursday, wasn't it? This was the terrifying moment where we realized that Kamala Harris had the power of the presidency. I will say they did not make a real big deal about that. This is the first woman to ever have that power in the United States. Now, I keep admitting to you that I do not watch mainstream media basically at all now. I used to watch the morning shows. I'll admit it did give me some content for the show, but it was just such a negative way to wake up in the morning. It just the COVID propaganda was bad enough, but the vaccine propaganda of the past 6 months on the morning shows, particularly the Today Show, which just for some reason was where I stuck. ABC, I can't watch Gayle King on CBS, Oprah's buddy. Such a merit-based system over there at CBS, the CIA network. Gayle King, she just happened to be, what, Oprah's best friend, so she gets the gig over there. Then you've got Michael Strahan over at ABC. I mean, maybe he's fine on sports, I really don't know. Seems like a nice guy. It's just listening to them and then led off by George Stephanopoulos, the former, what was he, chief of staff for Clinton on ABC? I couldn't do it, so I was stuck with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb. What's her last name? And this just became unbearable, particularly when it came to the shot, so I don't watch it. But they just didn't talk a lot about the fact that the first woman ever was at the seat of power with the United States. At least I didn't see much of it. But they talked a little bit about Biden's exam. I'm sure we got the truth out of that. Look, we didn't get the truth out of the Trump exams. I don't expect to get any truth out of the Biden exams, but they talked about it. They did leave one thing out of his physical examination.
And there were a few findings. His reflux is still persistent, which is why they think he's been coughing a lot. You may hear him clearing his throat a lot during speeches. That seems to be the cause of that. As far as his gait being changed, they think he's developed some arthritis in his lower back. But the other big things, his atrial fibrillation appears stable. He has a history of having his brain surgery, having aneurysms operated back in the late 80s. That appears to have not changed. And then again, this colonoscopy for which he was sedated, had a colonoscopy and also had an endoscopy as well. So those are the major things that they sort of put into the report, Anderson.
Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on his cognitive abilities, questions raised by...
Is that not a little tiny bit amazing that the CIA asset over at CNN, Anderson Cooper, actually dared to talk about... Been a lot of talk about Joe Biden's mental acuity. Yeah, I'd say that's an understatement. But yeah, at least they brought it up on CNN. So certainly, with all of the concern of the leader of the free world, that was air quoted here in the studio... Joe Biden, with all of the talk about his mental faculties, surely they tested for that.
By opponents and others. In 2018, the former president had a test that measured mental acuity. Was that part of today's test?
It doesn't seem like it. I read pretty carefully through the doctor's report, and they mentioned neurological exam, but that was more in terms of testing motor strength and sensation and things like that. President Trump had something known as the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. It's sort of a screening test for dementia. And, there was no mention of that sort of thing here.
Well, why would they test Joe Biden for any signs of Alzheimer's? I mean, he's displayed no signs of mental impairment. Golly. I guess if you don't do the test, you don't get a bad result.
It is a constant point of discussion. I can tell you within the geriatrics community, I wrote this book last year about brain health, and one of the things that kept coming up was, should sort of these types of screening tests, cognitive screening tests, be more commonly done? And there's many in that community who believe starting at age 65, there should be some sort of screening that's done.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you should screen everybody above 65. People who pay attention to their health can sail right through 65, 75, 85 with good mental acuity, but maybe the guy that can send our kids off to fight wars, maybe the guy who's in charge of nominating the money printer in charge at the Federal Reserve, maybe the guy that is leading us down this ridiculous Build Back Better path, maybe that guy, maybe we should just test. I mean, a drug test would be, I'd love to see his blood work. I don't know what they're putting him on to put him out there to get him out of his nap to make a speech, but it would be very interesting to see what that chemical cocktail was. But they just decided, we only test for Alzheimer's and things like that when there's a sign of some level of senility. Well, I got to tell you, the signs are everywhere. Here is not just a mental problem, but just a problem across the board. I tell you what, before I get to that clip, we'll take a quick call here. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, how are you today, Mike?
Good.
This is Willie.
Hey, Willie.
I was watching TV before I left home, and I heard a report that Mr. Biden said that he would he was angry about the result of this last verdict.
Oh, of course.
And Kamala Harris, she's all upset. And I said, you know, I was driving, and something dawned on me. So why don't we just get rid of all the judges and let them be the one to decide who's all guilty and who's not?
Yes. Well, that's what they're trying for.
What you call it, NBC and CBS and all them. Let them be the one to decide who's guilty and all, you know? I mean, because obviously they don't have no respect for the court system.
Well, they do when it gives them the result that they want, but of course when they don't get what they want, then it's obviously is flawed. Yeah, I mean they're trying to set up a star chamber. The admission of law and criminality is so, you know, it's so political. I mean, you know, we've seen people go to lie to Congress and they get away scot-free, but if you lie to the FBI, oh my gosh, you could be in big trouble. You'll have your house raided at 5 a.m., that kind of stuff. So the administration of justice in this country is in no way fair.
Do they think the American people, are we that dumb?
Yes.
That we don't see what's going on?
Yes, we are. Yes. Not all of us, not to a person, obviously, but as a society, we are not very swift. I will certainly say that. No offense to anybody who's listening, but you know that I'm right. I mean, you can't get away with people inoculating 12-year-old, 8-year-old children against a disease they're not susceptible to without being completely clueless. So.
Yeah, sometimes I just throw my hands in the air and just say, man, what's going on? I just have to just say, it just gets so frustrating.
It is amazing.
Sometimes I don't even want to hear the news anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what you should do. Turn off that TV, keep WYAB on. It's our safe space for sanity here.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Willie.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's why I don't watch the mainstream news anymore. Let's hear this clip. All right, pulled it up here. This was, you want to just talk about some really gross propaganda, just where it doesn't even belong. They can't leave us alone. Every tradition is infested with just propaganda and talking points and political stuff. It is so gross. This is the pardoning of the turkeys by Joe Biden.
You know, as a University of Delaware man, I'm partial to blue hens. But today we're going to talk turkey. The two names I couldn't agree on more, peanut butter and jelly.
What? He couldn't. Never mind.
And eventually, peanut butter and jelly were selected based on their temperament, appearance, and I suspect vaccination status.
Oh.
No, is he? Yes, instead of getting basted, these two turkeys are getting boosted. yeah, sure. After receiving their presidential pardon, peanut butter and jelly will be headed to Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana, where they'll be visiting something close to my heart, a train, the Boilermaker Special. That's where they're going to be. So, folks, turkey is infrastructure. Peanut butter and jelly are going to help build back the butterball as we move along.
Oh, golly. He has writers for that stuff. That's the scary thing. They came up with that, figured Joe Biden was the guy to deliver those laughs. Another clip of Joe Biden when I come back. Stay with me. All right, final segment for the day today, a shortened holiday week. I hope people can just enjoy time with their family. I think Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays out there, primarily because it's not a gift-giving holiday. I mean, you cook and get around and eat, but that's something we used to do all the time. But it's so, since we don't anymore, it's a great time for families to get together. It just makes me so sick to think that families, in the name of politicians or policies, are fighting with each other, distancing themselves. I already know of some debates I will probably have during Thanksgiving. I have some fairly liberal people in my family, and that's fine with me. I love them, and I will happily debate them. And then we're going to talk about football or anything else. I do not care. I do not hate them. I'm not going to get them out of our lives. I'll say my piece if they want to hear it. If they don't want to hear it, we can go on. I like the debate. I love debate. And I love doing it in a, you know, laughy, jokey way to a degree. As Ron Paul said, just say what you say. Say it often, and then there's nothing you can do. They can't unhear what you say. And as the evidence comes, it's like this vaccine stuff. The stuff that's been talked about at WYAB for the past year is coming to pass. Now, hopefully not all of it. I'll be honest with you. There have been some pretty dire predictions on this show and doctors that clips have been played by over the past year. And I certainly hope that all of the predictions don't come true. But as far as the efficacy of this thing, the effectiveness of this shot, it is proving to be a giant swing and a miss, albeit a very dangerous one. It's hurting people. Right on time, there's a story here. Kids ages 5 to 9 outpacing other age groups in COVID cases in Massachusetts. Wasn't it Massachusetts where we had the story just a month or so ago where they had a big outbreak and it was like 450 people, 383 of them were fully shot, vaccinated? But they're going to blame this on the kids, just haven't gotten the shots yet. But luckily, it's just right in that sweet age group that they just got approval for, the five and ups. With holiday travel approaching for many families, state data show more school-age children coming down with COVID, outpacing every other age group in Massachusetts. And they go through all of this stuff saying, well, yeah, I mean, these kids haven't gotten the shots yet. Now, their doctor does make a fairly rational statement here where he does say, we do need to acknowledge and celebrate the fact the one sort of piece of good news associated with this virus is that it does largely spare children of the worst complications. Yes, it does. And this is why it is a crime against humanity to be experimenting on them with a shot with no long-term safety record. In the stack of headlines, it appears the lot of Marines are resisting the jab. They may be run out on a rail. We'll see what happens. I love this headline. Disney puts policy on hold for employees. Huh. Right around the holiday time where I'm sure the traffic at Disney World is pretty good. Again, when the holiday season, when their peak times are over, oh, they'll get rid of these people. They'll force them to be experimented on by then. But like the retailers who begged the Biden administration, who acquiesced to push off deadlines until January 4th so they could use you to ring the cash registers for the biggest corporations, you know, because this was always directed at employers with more than 100 employees. So they said, all right, we're going to give you till January 4th. Once return season is over, then you go in for the experiment. No ifs, ands, or buts then. We will have used you to make sure that we get our profits out of the holiday shopping season. And then we'll throw you to the wolves. So Disney has put a hold on their policy for their employees. I guess they're coming up on a peak time and realize, you know, and if this was about health and Disney loved its employees, wouldn't they just shut the park down? Or wouldn't they just tell people, look, we don't have enough vaxxed staff to safely operate the park, so we're just going to shut down out of abundance of caution because we love our customers' lives. But no, they're pushing the jabs, but now they're going to let those dirty, unvaccinated people still work in the parks. It's almost like it's not about health. It's just about compliance. There's a whole lot of headlines. There were a ton of protests around the world, particularly over in Europe, where they're starting to do these lockdowns, particularly some targeted at the unvaxxed. There's a headline here. Shot holdouts face a $4,000 fine in Austria. Austria trying to overtake Australia in its totalitarianism. A $4,000 fine. Would you pay a $4,000 fine? Now, to me, to any healthy adult, it would be worth $4,000 to not be included in an experiment. But would you actually pay that? I mean, yeah, I wonder if this is like taxes. Oh, you mean they'll leave me alone if I pay them $4,000? I'll just give them the money. That is truly sick stuff. I'm running a little short on time here. I wanted to... Here was a Biden clip. I don't know why in the world they would ever test this guy for any, you know, mental acuity. It certainly he didn't need a cognitive test because he sounds great.
That where everybody's better off. You know, I'm tired of this trickle-down economy stuff. I come from Delaware just across the line up here. And, you know, we have more corporations in Delaware than every other nation in the state combined. And so I understand big business.
He understands big business. They have got more corporations than every other nation in the state. That's a simple one. Obviously, he transposed some words there, but I'm just saying they might have wanted to throw a cognitive test in there on Joe. One other thing Joe's doing real quick. Am I getting anybody on my side? Because I've been so critical of Donald Trump and so the Republican Party and so many unpopular things on here, but I'm crushing it going after Biden today, aren't I? That should be popular. There was a story, and I don't really have time to get into it, that appeared on MSN. The Biden administration insiders familiar with the situation, as it's often reported. The headline was, as Biden agenda advances in Congress, White House weighs new offensive on inflation. And it goes into here to say what they're going to do. And essentially what they're doing is going after the corporations for raising prices. Several outside advisors have pitched senior White House officials, including White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain and White House National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, on an offensive in which the administration would amplify criticism of large firms in heavily concentrated industries for passing on higher prices to consumers as they benefit from high profits. That was people familiar with the matter said. Effort would be aimed at both directing voters' attention to companies over inflation, as well as giving companies a reason to think twice before raising prices. And so this comes out on basically the same day that Joe Biden announces that he is going to renominate or continue with the same Federal Reserve guy who stoked the inflation during Trump's term. Ooh, I lost you again, didn't I? Gah, I was on such a streak of just criticizing Joe Biden, but they're going to keep Trump's Fed head, who's been printing money endlessly that causes inflation. Meanwhile, the people at the White House are going to go out and blame the companies for raising prices because their price of raw goods is going up because of the Fed head that Joe Biden just renominated. This is basically just a PR focus group type thing. Oh, we'll just blame the companies for raising their prices. We'll pretend like this guy that we just rehired, Jerome Powell, had nothing to do with inflation because American people are not educated in that area. I was about to say are too stupid, but really it's not stupidity, it's ignorance. And it's ignorance because even people on conservative talk radio who profess to be fiscal conservatives and against all this social spending and against endless wars or whatever other cause they go after refuse to tell conservative voters that the Federal Reserve is behind it all. And I suspect there's a reason for that, because a lot of the people that we listen to, particularly on the national stage, are fed by this endless money printing. Anyway, more of the same. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.